giving us the Western perspective on the NHL. Here's Pete Weber on Hockey This Morning.
We're going to test this rookie, and he certainly stood up well to that and has done very well ever since. He went back to junior hockey that year, by the way.
What's your favorite brand of peanut butter?
There is where I'm not exactly discriminatory, but I do prefer Chunky.
I'm with you on that.
If I'm in Boston right now, I'm scratching my head about with my goaltending, aren't I?
Yeah, you are. You definitely are. And that actually sort of comes down to the same sort of the same part of the topic right now. And I just wonder, you know, who the White House would endorse as the backup.
Glad we had this discussion.
All right. Enjoy, enjoy. When you guys come over here, you're going to play 3 and 4. 3 and 4. We call them Mary Kay calls. Yeah. Yes. I suspect I might have a head injury. But Jonathan Quick has had them competitive every game. Do we have to do like Coley Campbell did with any decision involving the club his son might have been playing on at the time, whether it be Boston or Florida previously, and maybe turn this over to the NBA? Get a really neutral observer. Would there truly be a survivor who could walk out of that series? I have my question. This is just horrible when you have to wait this long to get the puck dropped, guys.
Ah, Pete, I love it.
And the roar was absolutely incredible, and it has continued ever since.
Just a taste of some of the appearances Pete Weber has made here on the program all season long. His final appearance on Hockey This Morning for the 2011-2012 season. Voice of the Nashville Predators and our Western Conference analyst. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning. Matter of fact, I was just sitting back listening, thinking I was live already. But thank you so much for that. That's a very nice little collage.
Yeah, it's a minute and a half delay, so it's all good. Let us begin with the Hockey Hall of Fame announcement that will be made later today. It feels like there is a sure thing in Sakic and Shanahan, but you want to address the builder category as well.
I really do, because I think it is high time, and actually I think it was high time years ago, but I think that Fred Sherrill should be going into the Hockey Hall of Fame. And when I bring how I brought up to some who could not believe that he wasn't in already, that sort of tells you, I think, the stature, the status that he has had in the minds of many of these people. I'm not supposed to tell you because Mr. Hay would be angry, but I've talked with some of the selectors, and I think that ball probably is going to be carried at the meetings.
Why now? Because I know other people have said the same name. I have no problem with Freddie the Fog getting in there, but why do you think now might be his moment?
Well, I think the moment should have been a while ago. I think this is merely rectifying that, Mick. That's the only way I can say it. I don't say that. When we looked at the history of the game, we say, hey, you know something? 2012, Fred Sherrill's time, which does bring to mind a pretty good funny story about Freddie. You might recall that Bernie Parent played virtually every game, and then after, what, some 36 consecutive starts or something, all of a sudden, Bobby the Chief Taylor was put in the net for a rather big game. And the reporters asked Freddie after the game, why did you make that move in goal? And he said, well, it was Chief's turn. And I think now is Freddie's turn.
Well,
all right.
You know, I mean, I get a sense when I hear the words you use there, Pete, that it's rectifying.
Yes.
Something that should have been done a while back. And that makes me sort of buy into what Steve Simmons put on his Twitter this morning, which was, if I ran the Hall of Fame, there are 5 players I'd like to add, 10 I'd like to delete, and at least 3 underrepresented coaches that I would add.
Yeah, the deletions are interesting. I've had that sort of conversation with many.
Right. So I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that, hey, you should have been perfect and gotten it right every time. But I think it says something when you sit back and look at the Hall of Fame and people all over the place readily admit there are players that shouldn't be in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that speaks to that, and that I guess it sort of bothers me when you hear about, you know, making up for mistakes of the past or omissions of the past.
But I still think we should correct them, and that's the way I'm feeling on this one.
As you, Mick, and I were talking yesterday about a topic off the air.
You guys talk off the air too
sometimes.
Yeah, occasionally.
Okay, sometimes. It was about. There's no statute of limitations on correcting wrongs and
yes,
and fixing mistakes, right?
Correct.
So maybe it gets done. The other one that they could maybe, you know, fix before it festers too long is Pat Burns.
Yes. I could see that happening as well. And, you know, we've made the argument, have we not, in previous years, you know, do it so that the person involved can actually enjoy it while he is still alive. And I think that's where an error was made, that that's the sort of error it's very difficult to correct.
Yeah, and if you can correct that one, I want to know you.
Yes.
Because
yes,
you rule the world then. Speaking of festering,
mm-hmm,
Pete, where the hell is Roberto Luongo going to play once they start playing hockey?
Great, great question. And did we not, as we're witnessing what was going on with the draft coverage over the weekend, see what appeared to be a highly agitated, a highly frustrated Brian Burke trying to get this thing done? And what we're hearing, and I know that Bob McKenzie wrote about this, it's not necessarily so that the only place Roberto Luongo would agree to go because of his no movement clause would be back to Florida. But what has to be done to sort of kick the Vancouver Canucks into notice to doing this? And I'm wondering if the thing that might actually shake Roberto Luongo free would be an offer sheet to Corey Schneider. That could make things extraordinarily interesting and might actually get things done, so that whatever the offer sheet, in other words, Canucks would match that and then decide that, okay, we've plighted our troth with Corey Schneider, and now it's time to move Roberto Luongo. Toronto still seems, and you guys are right there, still seems like a highly active or a highly possible destination.
Doesn't matter that we're right here. They don't tell us any more than they tell anybody else. Right.
Believe me. Well, Brian Burke is free with that information. You saw that with the interviews over the
mm-hmm,
weekend.
Mm-hmm. We
if I knew it, I'd have to kill you. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And we wear baseball hats around here, and those
right
hide our faces. So
right, right.
We just don't fit
that's
in
right
at all. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the Justin Schultz situation.
Yeah.
He became an unrestricted free agent over the weekend. So the Ducks lose a draft pick there. The Ducks also trading Lubomir Vyshnovsky to the Islanders, who apparently is set to report to the Isles. And Bobby Ryan finally breaking his silence and saying, you know what, I'm just tired of being the whipping boy here. And
yes,
I'm tired of being the rumor whipping boy. So if they want me moved, then move me. I can't continue to play under these circumstances.
Yeah, he'd like to know, and it's difficult to blame him for that stance. But you talk about question marks around a franchise. At least they have the idea right now that Teemu Selanne will be coming back for another season. But boy, on defense in particular, and that's been the hallmark of the Ducks in their success era, has been how well they have played back there. So Vyshnovsky, an offensive defenseman, is gone. Justin Schultz is highly unlikely to sign with them. Where does he go? I understand that there are a number of franchises that are more than just a little bit interested in him, but there are some other dominoes perhaps that have to fall beginning on Sunday. And I don't know that we're going to see real quick decisions from Ryan Suter out of this when the free agency does hit on the weekend, or for that matter, with Zach Parise. So it might mean a lot of people are sort of being put on hold.
You see either of those guys suiting up for a Western Conference team next year?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, I would think it's more than likely that Ryan Suter would stay in the Western Conference. Zach Parise is still a possibility to stay in New Jersey. And, boy, the argument for him to stay was made pretty well when they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. So let's see what happens between those two.
But some argue, Pete, that might have been it for Jersey for a bit, and that was their peak with
it might well be
the older roster.
It might be the 67 Maple Leafs.
Without the win, and maybe he might want to move on to greener pastures, while Jersey sort of, I don't want to say rebuilds, but maybe reloads, or however you want to say it.
It's been interesting watching how that has happened, and with Lou Lamoriello not having as full a control as he has had there in the past, that might weigh in on his decision also.
Let's take a look at the Columbus Blue Jackets drafting Ryan Murray over the weekend. We're going to be checking in with Todd Richards a little bit later on in the season in review for the Blue Jackets.
You say hello to the greatest solar bear of all time, please.
I will do that, absolutely. Meanwhile, I mean, hard to blow your second-round pick or your second-overall pick, and I think it was a smart one going defense, and maybe the decision was made for them by losing the draft lottery and by Yakupov being taken by the Edmonton Oilers. But everybody's still scratching their head about the trade in which they pick up Bobrovsky. They give up three draft picks. And really, I mean, if you're looking to build for the future, you do it through the draft. If anybody's learned anything over the last several seasons, it's about ultimately building from within first. And moving three picks the way they did was a confusing one.
It was confusing. Similarly confusing following that is the story that Mike Ditka had taken over the New York Islanders and was offering all of his draft choices this year to Scott Housen if they just could have moved up, citing what Mike Ditka did to get Ricky Williams years ago when he was in New Orleans. That whole idea is fascinating to me. And maybe the Islanders will end up, after this is all over, being happier that they got Griffin Reinhart with that fourth pick. But, boy, to fathom such a deal in a year where the scouts say, and we're not going to know for 4 or 5 years, truly, that this was not that strong a draft, interesting proposition to help your team build through the draft by giving you the extra chances.
Yeah, but I was hearing a discussion about that in another station here in Toronto yesterday. And they made the argument, and I think it's a good one, that historically speaking, a lot of those draft choices, no offense to young men, turn out to be junk bonds. They don't go anywhere. Once you get past the third round, as you guys know, it's rare that a guy has any length of career in the National Hockey League. A number four pick's not bad, but if they've got their man, Columbus, then I think good for them, because I often criticize what they do, and I think for good reason, but I think it's good that they stood the course. Now, the Islanders went, of course, and took all defensemen.
Yes.
So that's interesting.
And then made the trade for Vishnovsky.
Okay, so they're just going to put all defensemen out there. I like that. It's not working with the goaltenders. I mean, it's all about blocking shots now anyhow, so what the heck, huh?
Either that or just draft all goalies, because they excel at that.
It may come at that, too. Los Angeles, of course, are the Cup champions, and every time I say that, I have to sort of correct myself, because it takes a while to sink in after knowing that they hadn't won a Cup for so long. But they've got a good core of their team, unlike Chicago that had to dismantle a couple of years ago. LA's got a good young core there, and they should be a contender again when Chicago's, of course, coming back up. But in LA's case, some guys are going to get some big paydays. I've talked to them with Jonathan Quick yet, goaltender extraordinaire for the Kings.
Jonathan Quick's talks have begun, and Dean Lombardi is going to be very much engaged there. He was lucky he has already gotten a couple of his centermen under contract, Jarrett Stoll and Colin Frazier. Those were done rather quickly, and now to pay his attention to his goaltender, who had a very solid case to be considered highly, at least, in the Hart Trophy balloting, not to mention the Vezina this last year, as he went on to win the Conn Smythe Trophy. But how much, guys? What do you think?
I don't know.
What's the limit?
That's the question. Wait, is it going to be, okay, Pecorine, $7 million a year?
Yep.
Is that the bar? Is that where it has been set?
Darn close. You take into account, I know the players do, how it's going to win. Well, the better players do, how it's going to impact the team as well. But, you know, you get one or two kicks a can of this in your career. And, you know, if you go south in this business, in any sport, Pete, you and Mike, you know this too, then suddenly you're garbage and they'll kick you to the curb. So you get your payday while you can.
Yes.
You don't want to tie the hands of your team, but you also want to make sure that you're paid, because you're never going to get that kind of money again. And right now he is, if not the best goalie in the world, Lundqvist, I understand, he's right up there. So, it's pretty close to that.
I just don't think that Jonathan has played guitar with John McEnroe in any of those charitable things like Henrik Lundqvist has done.
Well, I think that's more of a minus and a plus, but that's fine.
Let's look at the St. Louis Blues. Interesting team in that you see the turnaround that they went through. I'm anxious to see if they can sustain that.
The follow-up is always interesting.
Well, the follow-up is always interesting, but also because the landscape has changed there and how the new ownership and, you know, all the rumors, all the buzz about, well, this is a new ownership, but they want to cut some costs here and there. want to save a little bit of money. They don't want to put out as much dough as maybe the previous ownership had.
So does JD get a job before Sunday with another team?
I hope for his case he does, if that's what they're going to do. Like Rossi says, they're going to start cutting stuff, because that usually means a fall in the standings.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to do something. You got to invest your money. You can't throw money at a problem, but if you don't spend it, you're not going anywhere.
Well, we've seen other teams try to throw money at a problem in all the sports.
Yeah, and we know that doesn't work. But if you don't spend, too, it's rare that you can stay competitive.
Right.
Pete, we appreciate another great season with you. It has been a lot of fun. We certainly thank you for getting up, especially when you're out on the West Coast. A real trooper. And
those were the groggy spots you heard there, that opening collage, if you will. And the only problem we had with that was I found out that the Goldwater Institute doesn't want me to speak at certain times of day.
Gotcha. Good luck with that.
My wife must be a member of the Goldwater Institute, because she says that to me as well.
Yeah, but she says it to you at all hours of the day.
She is the Goldwater Institute.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, really? There we have a headline. Pursue that, guys. Thank you. Great season.
Pete, have a great summer, and we will be talking to you again down the line.
We will get you to Buffalo for baseball games, guys.
Okay? It is on our calendar.
All right.
Pete Weber, the voice of the Nashville Predators and our Western Conference analyst. When we come back to Hockey This Morning, season in review time with the Philadelphia Flyers. Their assistant coach, Craig Berube, set to join us. It's Mike Ross and Mick Kern with you here on HTM. This is NHL Home Ice.
Off for Weber. He scores! Tic-tac-toe! It's 2-0! Leguan to Weber. Unloads. He scores! A power play goal. Shea Weber's second goal of the night. Ellis launches it. Rebound Fisher. And the score! Whittaker bounce off the left boards. Fisher coming on with Andre Kostitsyn. And Fisher scores! He drilled one right past Emery for a 6-1 Nashville lead. Down the right side, Verbata to Whitney. Back to Verbata. Verbata throws it to the front. And Rene came out expecting that pass across to Hansel and stop that shot. Give it away right in front for Bodker. Oh, what a stop by Rene! Rene at 4:34 the first. The puck was given off right in front to Mikkel Bodker, and Rene saved his bacon.